You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Axe to Grind, the Hardcore Podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Thomas.
Can I ask you guys, are you getting a waveform for me? I'm getting a waveform for none of us.
Yeah, I'm seeing the waveform for all three of us.
I see you, Pat.
Oh, very nice. All right.
You're lagging a little bit. You're catching up with us. Thomas, I thought about doing that as well. Like, Patrick goes full government first, you know. Do I just start going by Robert on the podcast?
Yeah, but then I feel like we're doing like, and welcome to This American Life, whatever.
Oh, and then, right. Yeah. Yeah, if it's Patrick, Thomas, and Robert, it is a lot more NPR.
Jeez. It's like it's three funny. White guys talk about something.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
Yeah, we can talk about crop loss or something on the very special.
Crop dusting. Whatever,
you know. Grind, yeah. Before we get too silly today, because it's a silly one, folks. Thank you to our sponsors, Closed Casket Activities.
La Jolla.
Ooh, oh, the best. Straight, just full stop, the best. Run for Cover.
Ocean Beach.
Pretty good. To Live a Lie.
Seal Beach.
Oh.
You're going up north. That's where I go. That was my first stop off the plane when we were last in L.A. Seal Beach.
Lovely. Lovely.
And the mighty Convulse Records.
Point Loma.
Mm. We've been on the run. Something, something. Driving down the 101. Thank you to our sponsors today. We're going to focus on To Live a Lie and Closed Casket. Let's start at Closed Casket Activities. ClosedCasketActivities.com. We're doing a shirt draft. Guys, God's Hate has just dropped 3 new designs. If anyone's not familiar with organized sports, you go to random.org. You put in, let's see, list randomizer. I'm going to put a P for Patrick, a T for Thomas, and an R for Robert. Let's see who picks first. Patrick, Robert, Thomas is the order. I'm sorry, Tom.
Wow.
There's 3 new God's Hate pre-order designs. The God's Hate Blue Dragon t-shirt, the God's Hate Dragon Uzi hooded sweatshirt, and the God's Hate Iron Sharpens Iron design. Patrick, since you have the first pick, you get to pick which of these 3 you would like.
Iron Sharpens Iron is very tempting, but I'm going Dragon with Uzi.
Okay, why are you going with Dragon with Uzi?
The question is the answer, Bob.
The question is the answer. You know what, though? I feel like I have the number one pick because I would never, ever, ever pick a shirt with sleeve prints that start at the elbow and go down. Sweatshirt, long sleeve, terrible, terrible form. However, the design is very, very cool. Well, you nailed it, Patrick. I am going Iron Sharpens Iron. You know why? Because the front looks like it's the Terminator with a...
It does.
With a ninja sword. Yeah, what do they call those swords, Patrick?
The katana?
A katana blade in his futuristic robot mouth. And then, of course, the, what are those called? It's not a sai. It's the sai of those ones. Throwing star.
Shuriken.
Is that what's called? The shuriken?
You're making that up.
All right, sure. The throwing star in the head. So I get the Iron Sharpens Iron. And Tom?
I'm going to go fucking the Blue Bayou shirt. A Blue Dragon t-shirt.
Blue, I like Dragon. Blue. Yeah, I like this one.
I like the back. It's got a low rider with...
Yeah.
I think it's an octopus.
I think it's a dragon.
It's a dragon. I would go with the other shirts.
Yeah.
That would make sense. I like this.
Think, this is cool. I think this one is the one... I actually really like the front logo here. This is the one... If the back was on the front, it could be confused with a like low rider car club shirt.
Yeah.
So
Colin looks good. It fits Colin well.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out.
The goatee gives it away.
Everyone, go pre-order these shirts at closecasketactivities.com. God's hate, but they don't hate these shirts. closecasketactivities.com. Swinging our attention to Live a Lie, I'm going to tell you go to livealie.com. I'm always telling you to click on the web store, but for today, just click on that website because you're going to learn a little bit about what they got coming up in 2024. The Dry Socket LP, which I don't know if it's up for order yet, but it will be soon. If it is not, so go do that. And then the Caveman demo 7-inch is coming very soon too. I have it on good authority that it's coming pretty soon. So anyways, I was just saying before we recorded that the To Live a Lie web store is the closest you're going to get to the MRR review section of old. And this is to say to the layperson, I think even the most eclectic, dyed-in-the-wool punk, but I love hardcore and I'm down for metal and I'm open to all things and give me that garage punk scene, whatever, whatever. You know, if you like the Carbonas and Beatdown at the same time, you still would find something you had no idea what the hell it was in the MRR review section. To the point it was daunting but confusing. This has all the best parts of that. So you're going to find all these interesting things. For example, I'm looking right now, the abbreviated demo. So it's Skull Crushing Power Violence from British Columbia, similar in style to Healer or Early Hatred Surge. Yo, what? Okay. I need to check that out, you know? So for my money, I think it's pretty much the best web store, best distro, fast, dirty, punk and hardcore that you can find. So I want everyone to go check it out. Find something you haven't heard. Order it. Keep up on these new releases they're putting out. This is an important label in this whole world. And I think I've discovered more new music since I've been paying attention to their web store from them as opposed to any of the other weird little sources that I have. So check it out. Livealie.com. Click that web store. Guys, how you doing? How you feeling?
A little physically depleted. I'm in San Diego, which is one of my favorite places. I went to the co-op twice, but I'm a little worn down. I'm trying to keep up with the money never sleeps sort of fella here.
How'd he get all of that and you got none of it?
Well, he is willing to risk.
Let me not insult you. Not none of it, but you know.
Oh, you mean the hustle mentality?
The money never sleeps mentality.
Oh yeah, I think it's because of my good looks.
So how has the trip been otherwise?
Trip has been good.
That's what we call no sell.
Get away for a couple of days before going to Albany, New York, which is listen, everybody, I'm not ashamed of Albany, but it's cold and I got no interest in being there in non-summer months. And I don't want to get into no shit with anybody. Like, a lot of our listeners are from these Northeast hell holes and they get mad whenever I call them hell holes, but
they shouldn't.
It's so fucking cold, man. You gotta be realistic about what's going on. If you've got to really wear protective cold clothing or you die, it's like, that sucks. Stop.
Tom, how was the winter week for you up there? I don't know how I heard
it was
that.
Dark as fuck.
Yeah.
It was super cold. This whole weekend was cold. It snowed twice.
Yep. Fuck you.
Same here.
We haven't had snow in 2 years and we're like, here's two bunches.
Yep.
Yesterday it was like 12.
Yeah. Like the feels like temperature topped out at 11 today.
Yeah. Oh, come on, man.
I know. It's really bad. It's really bad. So I want to say a hearty middle finger in the air, Kid Rock style salute to the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, the Pilgrims.
Wow.
All the migrant groups who decided to settle in the Northeast from Europe just because it was the easiest. Because you really screwed us. We're all stuck here.
I think about it all the time.
Well, my family lives here. That's why so many people are stuck here.
I think about that all the time with my family. I go, you fucking Irishmen had no fucking ambition here. You know what I mean? Like you couldn't go west, young man, to like warmth. You know what I mean? It's
fucking move crazy. West, young man. I don't. And why did the ones who did stopped in Chicago?
That's another weird thing.
What are you doing? It's colder there than it is here.
You know, can we briefly talk about the? So some of my family stopped in Chicago as well, and they became wildly successful, unlike the Albany Kinlands. But when you become wildly successful, does that not free you to go places that are like just objectively pleasant?
Well, like I feel like reading Rainbow was a lie then, because what is it? Butterfly in the sky, I can fly twice as high. And no, you dumb not. Doofus. You were not. You can't move somewhere where it's not snowing.
Right. I think people go like, well, we got here and we found a life and some money. Like, why double down? Just like, this is cool.
I'll risk it all, Tom.
give me the Taos. Give me the Taos. Tom, I will tell you, honestly, New York is a great place, obviously, and I know Patrick could grumble or something, but the city is a great place. The livability, when you go to some place where it's warm enough, and you know, I'm not saying everybody has to be like Jimmy Camperman or like hike a lot. Just the option, 340 days a year to go outside and do what you want, whether it's go to a store, whether it's go for a walk, whether it is just not be inconvenienced by going outside your door.
It's like, beautiful.
I've probably done this rant, but it's been a long time, so I'm doing it. The Northeast, you lose, I don't know, between 40 and 60 days to bad weather every year. Either it's too cold, it's too wet, it's too snowy. It's one of those things.
Yeah, but y'all live near San Andreas.
You're not wrong.
I mean, y'all got earthquakes.
I lived in California for 6 years. Three mini shakers. One that made me leave the building.
That's it?
Yeah. And then I was back in the building like literally 5 minutes later. Yeah, man. It's, you know, does it mean that the big one isn't coming? No, but you know. We get hurricanes here too.
Worth it.
And yeah, New York's sinking.
California Uber Alice.
We're going to have to do one of those giant.
You don't even live in California anymore. Stop fucking.
You know what? I chose another West Coast city that's comparable. Whatever.
Yeah, sure.
That's true. Let's talk a little bit of hardcore because it's cold, it's dark, and it's going to last the rest of your life out there. Winter at this point. Let's brighten our spirits because, Tom, you actually had a raucous weekend. Couple gigs. Tell us about them.
I played two concerts in a row for the first time since probably 2003.
No shit.
Hell yeah. How was it on the back-to-back?
I pulled it off. Didn't think I was going to be able to, but I pulled it off. Yes. It was cool. So we played this place called the Warsaw in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, like an 1,100 cap or so. Us, Eggside, Sky King Falling, Poison the Well, both nights. Both sold out way in advance, like 3 months in advance, 2 months in advance. Shows were awesome. Place still, you can get pierogies while you wait for the bands to play.
Ooh.
The nicest backstage area literally I've ever been in.
No.
All right.
The venue's cool. All the people that run it are awesome. It was a great time. You know, being the Eggside opening, that's like daunting on a 4-band pack. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Younger band, not from here, blah, blah, blah. And they destroyed like both nights. Drummer plays with Click Track, which I thought was incredible.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I don't know anybody talented enough to do that. And like, I remember we were talking to them like about it, and I was like, the only time I've ever seen somebody do it was the guy from In Flames.
Yeah, he does for sure.
Like they played, like we played with them at a couple times. We watched them at Furnace Fest, like in 2002 or whatever. And like just watching, I'm like, so now I'm like, you know, asking like whoever it was, like Justin or Rachel, like, so tell me in a dumb way, like, what is he doing? Like, he doesn't hear anything but like this, like timing thing. And that, and it just like, so like, and like a little bit of guitar or whatever, but I'm like, like, he just keeps the time exact. And cause they have like weird like samples in their songs and stuff that like probably would be impossible to pull off naturally.
Right.
You know, organically or whatever. But yeah, they killed it. They had this great thing. They were like, Pat'll enjoy this because this is very up Pat's alley. They wrote in ChatGPT, write me a trucker's prayer.
Wow. Okay.
So they have this, they have the whole screen. So like, Warsaw has probably like, you know, 15 by 15 big LED board behind you. You can put like your logo, whatever, your logo, whatever.
Sure, sure.
So they have it, the giant prayer for their entire set on the back. And they just have this 8-minute loop of like the view out the out of the front window of a semi.
Okay. Like, I like it.
For like, you know, and it's just, but it's like a real semi, and it's like real, it's not like, you know, because someone thought it was like a simulator. I'm like, no, that's a real truck. And that was the background for their whole set. It was fucking great. They sounded awesome. Hmm. It was cool shit. Like, I think like there'll be a lot of big things coming out of them. Honestly, I think they're gonna be huge.
The videos I saw, and I really, to be honest, I only watched the videos of your band, looked like the shows were both like wild, especially last night. Looked packed and like, oh wow,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is massive, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, last night was like the first one that was announced and that sold out, but like that was announced with all the bands playing, so it was like a kind of a you know, more mixed crowd because it was like people that wanted to see Sky King Falling or whomever, like the first chronologically or by date or whatever was announced just as Poison the Well. And I, that day people were like, so is it only Poison the Well tonight? And I'm like, no. I'm like, we're all playing. They're like, oh, I didn't know. I'm like, oh, cool. So I mean, it was still pretty good. It was Saturday was way better. Friday was definitely cool. But here's what I did though.
Let's hear it.
Pat, I want to hear your thoughts on this. I don't know if I've ever seen you do this.
Hit me.
I used a mic stand. And I loved it. I
self-defense, Patrick, right there.
I do it in self-defense.
Yeah.
I do not do it in drug church, although there's a barrier at Warsaw, right?
Yeah.
Might as fucking well.
Well, the thing was, so Friday night, you know, it wasn't a raucous crowd for us. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. So I did the fucking mic stand. And then it kind of like, then it feels like you're only performing for yourself.
Yep.
Right.
And it felt more like I'm just screaming my fucking face off just to get this all out.
Yep.
And it was fun. It was cool. Like I'd never done that before. And I was like, I kind of get this. That so it was kind of like, I don't give a fuck if you mosh, you sing along for 1 second. I'm doing this like I'm in here, like in this little fucking box. But then the next day, like I was going to do it again. And like the first song came on and everyone went off. And I was like, fuck. But then I'm like, I'm like, all those people look like they want to have fun, but I'm like 10 feet away from them. So like, so I played the whole set on the barrier. And like,
I like that.
I mean, it was cool. The, you know, the bouncers were awesome. Like I got some argument with the guy. I was like, I feel like everyone here is taller than me. I'm 6 feet tall. And some guy was up front was like, you're not 6 feet tall. I go, yo, man. And we're like arguing. I'm on the micro. I'm like, yo, just give me. They're like, nah, maybe 5'11", maybe 5'10". I'm like, yo, I got measured. I'm 6 feet tall. I'm like, argue with the guy.
You're like, I'm in shoes, man. I'm six. I'm thinking, we're good.
Just let me have this, man. Like,
come on.
You know, but it was cool. It was a lot of fun. Poison Well was like, they were great. I love those records and they sounded amazing. They were like incredibly generous to all the opening bands and stuff. Sky King Falling did a different record each night, which was cool.
Tom,
they got a big reaction Saturday. Yes.
Can I interrupt you? Sky King Falling is half a blind spot for me.
Yes.
Were these fellas contemporaries of Indecision or just Most Precious Blood?
They kind of, it's weird. They were like, they bridged the gap sort of.
Okay.
So they were more like starting in like 98, but like by the time MPB came around, they were like a full-fledged like touring band. So we play shows with them as MPB.
Gotcha. Okay. Now,
so they were like early on in that, like they almost can't. I mean, they were doing that like when like Morning Again and Culture stopped. They were doing it around that, like a little after that.
Right, but heavier than those bands, right?
Yeah, but like in that Poison Well vibe though. Like
now, here's a question for you again. Sure. Are they at? This was not a reunion for them. They're semi-active band.
I mean, the last time they played was 2018. So
okay, so but
just, they play here and there.
Right. Okay. So like regional, still, you know, like feed their fans regionally occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're not, you know, like they all have families and kids and stuff like that. They're not trying to
gotcha.
Get out there. And then some of the dudes, you remember that band, The Sleeping?
I do. Yeah.
Well, some of the dudes went on to that.
All right.
So that's why they were busy throughout the aughts and early teens, I think. And they're back too. So, and half the band and Sky Came Falling were Sleeping dudes. So.
Gotcha.
Yo, so here's the thing I want to say, because I actually like there's somebody who could have a weird take on like this era where, and I mean, I'll be honest, there's a time where I'm like, man, there's so many reunions. It's da, da, da. On a pure face of face thing. I like that people are doing bands and doing music and getting back together and being like, fuck it. We want to do this band. We broke up 15 years ago. Whatever we broke up for is completely irrelevant. Let's play these songs we like. Some of them want to put new songs together. Even better, God bless, do your thing. I think it's cool. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know. You know, maybe I'm just in a weird way today, but I love that energy. It's just like hearing about this. It's makes me feel good thinking about these bands. Where like you said, Tom, you're like, oh, these guys got families. They got, you know, da, da, da. But it's like... You shouldn't stop doing the things you love because your life takes you in a different space, you know?
Right. Also. And I think there's no harm in it. There's room for everybody. To me, the only problem I would have is if it was like, yo, like, all right, full transparency. And I don't know if this has ever come up. When Turn Style was like, when they were starting to do the tour for this, the last record. And I think they played Irving and Brooklyn Steel or Elsewhere or something.
Sure.
Someone came to us who were like, you guys want to play with Turnstile at Irving?
Yeah.
Of course, that would be sick.
Yeah.
But I was like, yo, man, like, I would rather that spot go to some young band.
That's cool.
So, like, we passed. Because, like, you don't want to take up the fucking all the energy in the, like, I don't want to become the band that everybody gets because they, like, you know, oh, they can draw and blah, 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 blah. Like, I would rather, like, give someone else a shot. No one else is going to win all, like, get, you know, kind of get a pop from the shows we just played over the weekend.
Sure.
Exide did incredible, but there was no local band that was like, you know, would fit perfectly with this?
Right.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
Maybe Balmora or somebody, you know what I mean, or whatever. But, like, I feel like, there's an ebb and flow. And, like, if you're not taking, you know, money from hardworking, like, you know, DIY promoters and, like, fucking them out of money – or right. taking up space that doesn't belong to you. Like, I don't think there's any harm, like, playing every once in a while.
No, I mean, that's the piece, right? Like, it's not, it's the oxygen in the room is the comment that I think is important. It's like, yo, we're actually at an interesting space. There's a lot of rooms.
Yeah.
A bunch of different oxygen. And it seems that there's been audience, you know, like, yo, your response said there is desire for it. And it's like a problem in chair, not in computer kind of situation where it's like, yo, it's up to the user to decide like what makes sense and what doesn't. So credit to the people who are out there doing it and realizing like, you know what, we don't need to do everyone, but let's pick our spots.
Yeah. Well, let me say that, I fell down a weird hole the last couple days on YouTube. I watched a hour-long interview with Daryl Palumbo of Glassjaw. Now, as stated on this podcast, I like Glassjaw. I did not anticipate listening to an hour of the singer talk in 2024, but I did. And it got me reflecting on, you know, as I speak to you, I'm in the house of a booking agent. And booking agents and managers and labels have a very, you could say, crass, or if you wanted to be more sympathetic, you could say business-minded way of talking about bands that people put their full life into, right? Because we have to be realistic to them. Even if they love the bands, it's a matter of money, right? So
yep.
it can sound so fucking gross listening to a booking agent speak about somebody that you know gives their full soul to a thing that they do. And and they'll say, cashed. They'll say, yeah, those dudes.
As long as they use that voice, we're all gravy.
You know, it's taken a lot for me to get past it, because my friends that work in music, I would hear them talk about bands. I'd be like, yo, you guys are fucking disgusting fucking pigs. Like, you guys make nothing. You understand that? You make nothing but money. And the people that make things, you guys treat like fucking like pork bellies. You know what I mean? Or orange juice. It's commodities.
Yeah, futures. Yeah.
And you know, it's taken me a long time to understand, hey, listen, nobody means shit by this. In the same way that I can be cold about people's lives, it's this is just gallows humor among people that are in a trade. You know, it took me a long time, but listening to the fellow from Glassjaw, who they play very infrequently, but it's very clearly a lifelong project, and they have their fans, and there is no reason that anybody in the sound of my voice should see the world through a booking agent or manager or label's lens. You should enjoy the things that you enjoy because they connect with you, and you should not be. And look, we're guilty of this too, because nobody would consider us music industry, but we're privy to a lot of like industry thoughts, you know, like the things that those people are thinking they kick their way down to our desk over time. And we were recently talking about a band that we think is probably at an inflection point and should do something different, because things aren't working for them. Right. And we can be cold in a group chat, but it's a world of difference from that to not understanding that these people have broken their backs to create something they're proud of and not recognizing that at all, you know? So whatever, this is all just to say that, yes, I think that there's more than enough room for the semi-retired bands or the bands that, just for whatever reason, want to play less frequently and I'm the guy that thinks everybody should be touring. But the fact is that there is space for the bands that are still excellent who only want to do it occasionally.
Shout out Tom, single best moment of the two shows. Uh-oh. He might've muted himself. We'll give him a second.
Have we lost Tom in the song?
No, he just muted himself. He might've run off for a sec. Patrick, what do you think was the best moment of the Indecision set?
You know, I really liked the part where the ring girls from UFC come out and they anoint Tom in a garland of flowers.
That's always underrated, and it's so weird that they do that like only 2/3 of the way through the set.
It is weird, but it honestly, I think it's visually compelling. I think it's deserved.
Absolutely,
and I'm happy for Tom that he gets his flowers.
Yeah, like quite literally gets them. While we wait for Tom to get back, Patrick, you just finished up, well, mostly, you know, for a stage show. You finished the newest Drug Church record. In one word, how would you describe it?
Evanescent.
You said Evanescence?
Okay. Evanescence. I said Evanescence. Yeah, it should sound exactly like Evanescence.
Wake me up inside. All right, Tom's computer froze. Okay. Then he'll refresh and join us. All right, cool. Refresh and join us. We're leaving this in.
I fear there's no level of unprofessionalism that I fear. It's all good.
Oh, yeah. We're fine. We gravy. Here's my question. Hygiene and Cheer. I'm going to go music journalist on you. So Patrick, where do you get your ideas from? Hygiene and Cheer are different records to me. I actually think they have kind of a tangibly different energy. Not to say that they're, you know, they're different. Is this record more like Cheer or more like Hygiene, or is it out on its own branch?
They wanted it to be Cheer.
Right.
And I think it's more Hygiene. I think they failed at their ambition, but that's fine. I like Hygiene better, so it doesn't matter to me. But in my view, the songs are simpler, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's very interesting to sing over them.
Interesting.
I think that I did a good job of balancing the record themes. There's a actually properly sad song in there. Not Drug Church's thing. But there's also songs about, you know, like getting shot in a liquor store, like
pork chop sandwiches or something.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very curious how it's received. I wanted heavier songs, and the guys did this thing that we've had to do on basically, you know, the almost it's more than a cliche. It's an archetype style song of sung yelled chorus, yelled versus sung choruses. You know how that was a thing however long.
100%.
They put me in the position where I have to do the opposite, where the verses are sung and the choruses are yelled. And
it's worked for you a few times. I think.
Yeah.
I prefer myopic. Does that, doesn't it?
You know, if I could remember any of my songs, I could tell you.
Puts it all into focus. La da 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 da.
Yeah. Exactly right. Yes, that's a good example.
Those were actually the lyrics.
And I think it's a nice. You know, if I had to choose between doing the thing that kind of defined heavy music for 10 years or doing something or doing the exact opposite, I'd rather do the exact opposite. So I think it's a really strong record. If I had to place it, I think we talked about this on Patreon, 10% to 20% better than Hygiene. So, you know, take it under advisement. If you liked my previous records, you will like this.
You like this one 10 to 20% more.
Yep. And then, all right. Tom has been rescued from the netherworld.
Hello, I am back.
We broke Tom out of hell.
Tom, the question to you before you got lost was, what was the single best moment of the Indecision set? Our answer was
when the ring card one. Yeah, that was pretty great.
That was good. Okay, good.
Yeah, they bring out like the lays, like when you're in Hawaii. It's pretty nice.
Getting your flowers.
What was the best part? I think
the camaraderie.
I had to have some real conversations. I had to have some real heart to hearts with the people up front on the barrier.
Oh. Okay.
Because there are a lot of kids there that I'm like, oh, you're just here for Poison the Well. And like, I'm going to ruin your time a little bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna sweat on you.
Like, I was, you know, and I was like, and people were holding onto the barrier like it was like, and like they were in a twister.
Bad form.
Right.
You know, I'm like, yo, like, and I'm like, and so I'd announce, like, coming up. And like, so I'm like, because my belly's going to hit your hand. Just warning you right now.
Okay. So I'm sure this is probably the case. Poison the Well has some really diehard fans.
Sure.
Sometimes when Drug Church will do support for bigger bands, their fans are so connected to them that they want. They're not giving up their spot. Once they get their
spot, they're getting there at doors and sitting there.
That's right. And I don't know if they pissed on their leg or whatever the fuck they do, but
you wear diapers like you're in, you know, at like so New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so
gross.
That is really wild behavior to me. But at the same time, I'm really in favor of people loving things. So fuck it. Whatever.
Oh yeah, no. I wanted to, and I made this like this is our space. So like, you know, I was like, you can push me if I'm getting too like, you know, in your space, like. Feel free to fucking like push me in the chest. I don't give a shit. Like,
yeah.
But you know, it's just tough with that barricade. It kind of the barricade really fucking. I know we go like it's a necessary evil and stuff, but man, it really fucking shits up a good show, man.
So, Tom, that's interesting because, you know, I'm really against the wall on these drug church shows. You know, like planning for our tour in the fall. I want two bigger bands, like not big bands, but bands that can do 200 people a piece. You know, like
right.
Like,
you're looking at like you're doing 800 cap kind of.
And it's so goddamn hard. I've got booking agents barking on me that we're losing money every fucking. It is. It's tough because the
barrier. My question is,
yes,
I don't know. I maybe like the New York barriers are really kind of like, fuck, this really sucks. But I've played other places with barriers that didn't seem as bad.
No, there's barriers.
The LNG had a barrier, or like when we played the old what the fuck's the place in Atlanta, the big room.
Masquerade.
Like we played there with Sick of It. And there's like, in the big room, there was like a barrier, but like you had to like step down to get to the barrier, but like there was like a running track. Like how you guys, how it was done at Sound and Fury 2021, yeah. Whatever it was.
Yeah, with the little mini stage kind of thing in front.
Like I feel like that's a, you know, I bet you there's places that it's like, oh, there's a barrier, but like, I bet you could like make it work. Some of these are kind of like, especially for a drug church show. I mean, I get it, but I mean, it's, you just have to pick like whether or not, you know, how much money is too much to lose. But I think like some of them like real put a fucking, a real fucking kink in that. It's just like, God damn, this sucks.
So Tom, the problem is not even us losing money. Cause I can pull rank on that. And this is really inconsiderate, everybody. I'm not going to pretend it's not, but I have a career, so if you tell me, hey, you can make more money doing drug church or you can have more fun doing drug church, I'll go, my bandmates can go work. They can work at a water park or something in their off time. I'd rather do great shows. So I'm fine with that. The problem is doing the math on a great lineup, right? So if you have one band that can bring out 400 people as your headliner, and then two bands that can bring out 200 piece, you have to pay those bands appropriately. And putting everybody in a 400 cap room means that you can't offer those bands. Pardon me, everybody, it might sound gross to some of you fucking basement types. You can't offer them fair market value, right? Like, so a band that can 80% fill the room that the headliner is asking them to play is completely entitled to a good amount of money. And you can't do that in a small room.
Right? Unless you charge.
Yeah. That's premium. The thing. You'd have your per ticket cost would have to be nutso.
Would you feel comfortable with that?
Do I feel comfortable with per ticket cost?
Right. To offset, like, all right, we're not going to play anywhere with barriers, but you know, before, you know, the fees, it might be a $30 ticket.
You know, I'm actually fully at peace with that. That would be a great solution to me because in that balance of what's hardcore, right? Like, and again, I'm not trying to sell anybody on the idea that drug church is a hardcore band. I'm completely indifferent to however people feel about that. But in the balance of what is kind of like, to me, fun for a DIY band and fulfilling to do, would I rather play a $10 show with a barrier and allow everybody to come and have a good time? Or would I rather pay a $30 show without a barrier? And then the barrier to entry is the cost of the show, but every single human being there is going to have a fucking blast. It's going to be the latter every time. And also, I know this from selling commercial goods. There is a number where reducing the cost does not bring in another person, and upping the cost does not to a point does not discourage a significant enough amount of human beings. So,
right.
You know, going, everybody, we've talked about this, every fucking promoter at some point has had, every DIY promoter at some point has had this idea, like, what if I make the show a dollar and then we get everybody in the entire region into hardcore music? Because who could say no to a dollar show? And once they come, they'll see that this is an awesome thing that we listen.
What a fun
Here's who can say no to a dollar show. People who have no interest in hardcore, which is the majority of human beings. Like if you offered me a dollar to go watch it, like, hey, the Flea Circus is only a dollar. I'd say, yeah, you know what? A
dollar too much. And I ain't going for free neither.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then $30, you know, as Hydrahead Records used to put it, don't like it, don't buy it. I don't think it's going to be discriminatory to the point that it's going to matter. So I would be comfortable with that. My bandmates might disagree because they're a little broker than me and maybe they feel that more acutely. I don't know.
Wow. Putting the whole band on fucking Front Street.
Well, no,
it's just four people around. Yeah, like wow.
Yeah, how great would that be?
White gloves, Kinlan over here. Like, you know, please pass the Grey Poupon. The rest of the band,
I'm wearing
checking
my stuff
phones for pennies. Shirt. Come on, yeah.
But I wonder if there's a way you could do like, you know, Live Nation Room A or whatever, fucking AG, whoever the fuck it is, like with barrier, you know. $20 ticket gets the, you know, nets this DIY spot that's 800 without a barrier at 20 gets this, but at 30 gets you closer to that other number. Then no one can complain.
Yes. Well, somebody will, but I
you know what? I feel like we're old. We go $22. People do not blink a fucking eye. The only people that I hear complaining about Gorilla Biscuit shows being $35 are people who saw Gorilla Biscuit for $7.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
No one is going to be like, I'm not going to see fucking, you know, Gel, Drug Church, and fucking, you know, Soul Blind because it's $30. No one is going to bat a fucking eye because that's what it is. Not to say that's a tour. Well, that was a tour.
Not only are you right, but it's also I learned from the show I attended in Jakarta, where I was so impressed with kids. The average income there is so low that kids basically have to put
on like layaway, right?
They put it on layaway, like it's like a festival ticket. You know, festivals do that in the United States, but not individual shows typically. And I think that's really inspiring. Those kids want to go to a show, therefore they plan for that show. If I make you aware of a really good fucking tour, 10 months in advance, well, I don't know, man. Come on,
like I think you probably figure out a way to save $2 a month to get.
Yes,
you in there.
I think we can plan accordingly.
Just don't get avocado toast.
That's what it comes down to.
I mean, that's really you can own a house and a Drug Church ticket if you just don't buy avocado toast. That's avocado toast. That's what I was told.
I was. I was under the impression for a long while that the like layaway plans for tickets was such a scam. Like I just was like, I don't know, man, this feels whack. Why do you need this? But I didn't, you know, I kept my fool mouth shut because I didn't put it together because I was like, there might be something here, but it seems weird to me. I had friends who felt largely the same. But then talking to a couple of people who do fests, No, exactly what Pat's saying is right. Like most of the kids who do these things, it's not abandoned halfway through and they are out half their money or whatever. Most of them are doing it because that's how they can budget to do the thing they really want to do. And so it's sort of like, wow, okay, well, cool. This is, and what you said is true, Pat, like the fact that people are socking money away to go do this thing. That's really cool.
And I like how it kind of evens the playing field because usually, you know, say, you know, a big festival, say like Sound of Fury.
Sure.
That shit's going to sell out like, or like all these festivals that sell out like, oh, the day of.
Yeah.
You know how many people are like, yo, I don't have.
Yeah.
I mean, even the prices are normally priced that it's like, I don't have fucking $150 to drop right now.
Yeah. Right.
And if that I could get in.
That could be anyone.
Of course.
Like we talk about. You know, this is everybody. Sorry, this is a little adult corner here. You talk about like, oh, people that got money and don't got money. There's plenty of people who got money who are just overextended, don't want to spend $150 on a fucking concert that day.
That's right, it. But if you could be like, yo, I'm going to drop 50 or 30 or 25 and I'm guaranteed admission.
Yeah.
I just got to, I got to pony up the rest by, you know, July 1st. Cool.
Yeah. I think it's good.
Then you can plan your life.
That's right.
So you heard it here first. Drug Church is going to be doing down payments.
Yeah.
With their $57 ticket.
Yeah. PayPal's go directly to Saddam518 at
that's right.
Hotmail.com. Just send them along and you'll just, your name will be on a list somewhere. Don't worry about it.
How does that work? Like if you do the, like the down payment and the kind of, what's it called again? I just totally blanked on the word that I
layaway style.
Layaway style. If you say like, hey man, you know what? I'm not going to be able to make it. I can't pay the rest. Do you forfeit your money?
Yeah, you do.
Fairly certain, yeah. So that was
so the that's the only scammy like, part of it.
That's the part I always thought, but it's apparently very fractional how many people do that because you know you're kind of pot committed at a certain point. Like, oh,
at the point of no return, you're like, well, I already put $75 on, man. I'm not going to own now.
That's right. That's right. So it's kind of because that was the part I always kind of made me feel weird. And then I found out it's just not something that really happens that often. So it's cool. Guys, can we have a few. Yeah, please take us, Patrick.
Well, I was going to hit you guys with some kind of rapid fire sort of things in the ether.
From another Twitter user, Five Saddam.
This is my own aggregation. Thank you last week to, I think it was Greg Hall. This is my own aggregation. Just based on things that I've seen, as I haven't been online terribly much, but let's go down this list. Are you ready? And you can tell me if you've seen them or not. Okay.
All right. Cool.
First, pig head at the show.
Saw it.
Didn't see it.
Okay, Bob. I guess black metal or black metal adjacent band, maybe with some ties to hardcore scene. Played a show in unspecified state, Texas. And they threw a pig head around the show and people were upset. Now, Tom, your immediate impressions.
I mean, I think it's gross no matter who does it.
Yep.
Having played a venue right after that band, Watain.
Yep.
That shit sucks.
Okay.
It smells weird. People can get sick from it.
Oh, yeah, that's gross.
I'm cool with people throwing garbage cans and shit. Like, if that's what your expectations are when you're walking in the room, that you're like, this is not going to be your normal punk hardcore show. Like, if you go to a Bad Luck 13 show, you know what the fuck to expect.
That's correct.
You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever happens there is on you because it's like, you didn't think you were going to see the Promise Ring. You knew what the fuck was going to happen.
Yeah. Entrance was the waiver.
Right, right. Like by you admitting, yeah, you're right. Your admission is you being like, yeah, I'm cool with whatever happens. I don't know what this band's deal is. I think the whole like, I mean, as a vegetarian is a whole nother story, but I just think it's like, it's gross. It's just like to being kind of, you know, doing something just to, for the show of it.
Now, Bob, your impression, knowing what you do.
It sounds gross. I mean, you know, like,
But expand on people that who weren't there being upset.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I can't muster too much. It feels a lot like looking for something to be upset about. You know, like here's the thing. Gigi Allen, you'd hear these stories of him, you know, throwing his own feces at people, not just like once, like that was just what he did. Okay, like, do with that as you will.
Yeah, buy the ticket, take the ride.
Right, or keep it moving, and you can be like, oh yeah, that's the dude who throws shit at people. That's gross. Keep it moving. Like, it's not right. Something
you wouldn't to be mad about reading about it on the internet. Fucking
correct. There's just not, there's not enough seconds in the day to give that one more than three.
Okay, I agree with that. I'd like to very briefly give my sanctimonious vegan opinion and then move on to how this story shook out. So I saw vegans complaining about this. I play venues that sell burgers. I see this isn't me being difficult. This isn't me being shocking for the sake of it. I see literally no difference. I couldn't give a fuck. It's wrong to eat a burger. It's wrong to fucking toss a pig head around. It's all the same bullshit to me. I'm not precious about it in that respect. Now, what I found interesting was the band, if this is legitimate, which I think it is, the band posted the following. Hi, everyone. We just want to start off by saying we are incredibly sorry to anyone we offended with our actions and gimmicks on stage. We are a black metal band, and as part of it, we try to add a little bit of imagery and shock value to our set. Unfortunately, our acts have gotten carried away and way out of hand, offending many and even harming some. We want to apologize to any vegans, Muslims, or any other minority groups we may have offended, and to anyone who was harmed by our act. Most importantly, we want to apologize to the White Swan, that's the venue, and Harry the Sound Guy specifically. Thank you very much, White Swan, for giving us the opportunity to play there. Okay, now, does this change your view / what is your impression here?
I think that's very 2024.
It's very 2024.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Let me give you just a little perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know this for a fact. I'm basing it on what I just read. Okay. These might be young dudes.
Yeah, I think they're... whatever. It sounds like the kid who got in trouble in high school doing something and didn't realize he bummed people out and said sorry. And I take it as sincere as it is. It doesn't have to be that serious. They didn't want to bum anyone out. Probably sounded like they were overwhelmed by how many people they bummed out.
Probably. Yeah.
But are also kind of, if they're younger folks, and that could be literally by age or younger in terms of how long their band's been around. They're trying to get a foothold, whatever. They probably don't want to burn any bridges. It's cool. I appreciate that they didn't want to offend anybody, especially the vegans and Muslims kind of thing, because it's like, oh, this is more of a, I could see someone thinking this is one across the bow more directly at someone, but I don't know. Hey, we did something to be shocking and wacky, and people might have misconstrued it. Sorry, it was corny trope shit from our music genre that maybe is past its expiration date. Our bad. Hopefully see you next time.
How heavy do you think that is?
How heavy that is the pig head?
Yeah.
Heavier.
You might do damage.
Listen, I was at a bad luck show where the one landed a couple fucking inches from my foot, and if it had hit me in the kneecap or the face, it would have been a problem. For me. I mean,
I would have stepped to all nine guys in the band and been like, you know what?
No.
I can't feel the left side of my face, but.
Yeah, I mean, a problem in that I wasn't insured.
You get a fractured kneecap or
something. I don't know, Tom, you appreciate a sincere apology. You are none of us here are trying to take any, by the way, can you guys hear these insane dogs?
Yes.
Okay. So, none of us are, hold on. I gotta maybe euthanize a dog. So none of us are trying.
I appreciate the apology.
Okay. I do and I don't.
I don't know if any of the groups that he mentioned came out and was like, I'm offended as a person of the Islamic faith, whatever.
Sure.
And then they're like, oh, that's my bad. I didn't even think of that, man. Fuck, I'm sorry. Like, that I can appreciate. Maybe the sound guy was like, dude, you got fucking kibbles and bits in my fucking, you ruined my soundboard.
Sure, yeah.
But just make it a blanket, like... Anyone who has or has not eaten a ham sandwich in the last 20 years, I'm very sorry. I don't know. I mean, go with it, I guess. I mean, if you're gonna go that route, like, stick to it. Be the fucking black metal band. Be the punk band.
Yeah. So
you didn't really offend anybody. I don't think anybody was like being like they're doing this because it's anti-Semitic or anti-Muslim or anything like that.
Yeah.
People were like, that was fucking gross.
Also, yeah, look, I mean, this is why I say maybe they're young dudes, and Bob's right. Maybe it's just the band is younger, but it's a lot of times people do things for shock and then they don't understand that shock comes with consequences. And I'm not going to talk down to these kids. I don't know what their situation is or whatever, but I will say that shock value, it inherently has a there's a ROI on it, and you have to be mindful that it's not, you know, it's somebody's going to hate you, right? It's just a thing. Yeah, people hate me. I don't even throw around pig heads. There's just a cost to these fucking things. And if they
the pork fucking companies are like stoked, like, thanks.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. If they weren't ready to pay whatever this fucking cost was, that's fine. But I a couple things from me, I just feel that these apologies are fucking nonsense. Not that they didn't mean it, just that it never satisfies anybody. If you really, if I do something wrong and I actually want to apologize, if I hurt somebody's feelings in the future, like, you know, for our listeners, if I say that's my bad, I'll do better. I'll do it different next time. That's a sincere apology from an adult that means it. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need all these words to say, like, correct, like, sorry about the Muslims, sorry about the vegans. Just say, yeah, we went a little overboard. That's our bad. Didn't mean to bum anybody out, but you know, we're black metal band. Occasionally we're going to step in some dog shit. It is what it is. I would you guys take that better or worse than that?
Pork chop sandwiches.
Pork chop sandwiches. I already know what that's for.
Would you take that better or worse?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, did I lose two men?
Sorry, yo. I think we both muted.
I accidentally dropped my phone and hit the mute button, but I think I like the more general mea culpa. You start naming people, you're gonna forget somebody, and it's gonna cause you more trouble.
It feels like a statement, right? It feels like a fucking prepared statement. It's so corny. I agree with what Tom said before. I agree with what you said. The my bad. What Tom said, the like, ah, shit. You know, I didn't mean it to bother someone. Look, it's like a lot of things. I talked about this. One of the most annoying things, and I like that people are using it to be comical, is the way that Donald Trump influenced how people talk in these stupid non sequiturs.
Sure.
Beyond that, the notes apology and public statement apologies are bad, as bad as people talking like they're on fucking Cops. You know what I mean? Like, none of you have to apprehend the suspect here. It's like, to everyone whose feelings I grievously wounded on the date of September 15th, I'd like to offer my sincerest apology. Like, stop it. Yo, if you are a human, people will accept that more than your fucking chewed out. We need to make a statement about that. We've got to get in front of this.
If you get a my bad apology, that means that I mean it. If you get a statement, that means that I retained Tom as my lawyer to write that. You know what I mean?
And your manager wrote it for you.
Yeah. That's so, can I go next topic on you fellas?
Next topic.
Pitchfork is in contraction or being absorbed into a parent company or shutting down or whatever it is. And Sam of Triple B fame's got something to say about it.
Sammy. He was wearing a Dennis Scott gamer jersey. Are you just going to play the pork chop sandwiches clip? That would be great. Sam has something to say about it. Oh, fuck. Pork chop sandwiches.
Pork chop sandwiches. So Sam took a minute to do the victory lap on outlasting Pitchfork. And the reason for that, everybody, is that Pitchfork, you know, there was a lot of discourse on any time that a legacy media outlet folds, people go with the get woke, go broke sort of maxim, right? And it's a little silly because obviously websites are not receiving the type of ad revenue that they previously did. Everything's been, is now aggregated by social media sites, and those outlets pivoting or trying to keep up with the sentiments of the moment doesn't necessarily mean that there was some type of institutional capture where they're all committed to this new ideology or whatever. It could mean that, I guess, but it's just, it's a silly maxim that people that are in the Schadenfreude sort of mindset just want to say. And so there was people that were happy to see Pitchfork go for that reason. And then there was the people in our world that were kind of happy to see it go because it never fucking acknowledged us.
They never paid anybody any mind, or if they did, it was shitty.
Yes. And for people that don't know, I mean, I think Pitchfork's probably reviewed my records, and if so, I appreciate them taking the time, but
Let's see what Pat got on. Hold on.
You search drug church. I'll search self-defense. Keep talking while we find this, Patrick.
So when I say I don't care about reviews, I mean, I really, truly don't care about reviews. It's not like a pose. We're in an era where people, if they hear a record is coming out, they know the band and they know the band's name. They click play on the streaming platform of their choice. The idea that music criticism in the form of reviews matters at all in 2024 is absurd. And that goes for the Fantano guy. People don't watch him to learn about music. They watch him because they like his manner. Something about him as a personality connects with them.
Or they hate him.
Yeah, yeah. But
a lot of people hate watch.
Sure, I'm sure. But all I'm saying is, there's not
him only.
There's not a thing that a critic could do. Like, there's always going to be a need for long form music criticism that has something to say. But reviews are perfectly pointless in the streaming era. I can just tell. I didn't have to invest $16 to listen to something. I can just fucking press play. So,
like Aerosmith said.
Just press play? Yeah, press play. So here's the deal.
Pat's shooting Pitchfork bail because he got a 7.4 in 2022 on hygiene.
And no, 7.2 on self-defense, try me.
Okay.
Which, I mean, so for that is like pretty high.
At 6.3 on Heaven is Earth.
Yeah. Whoa, really?
Yeah, but I will say this, the two reviews were both very well put together.
Okay, all right. So here's the thing.
So what Pat's saying now is that Pitchfork, pretty good, RIP.
No, you give me a 6.4. I don't care if you're fucking – you're deaf. So,
but that's actually pretty good.
Listen, I'm not – when you're given like
– that's not below a 7.3. What murder?
Have you seen the Jet review where – the Jet review is literally just a monkey peeing in its own mouth?
Yeah, but that's fun.
Wait, the song Jet by Wings?
No, the
band, J-E-T-T, oh. Yeah.
Is it JTT? Yeah, the band from Australia or whatever.
Fellas, one of you look up who's the heavyset woman that does all the fucking things now?
Well,
of course. What's her name? Janie can't paintball?
No, she's a black lady. She's big. What's her fucking name?
I'm not doing any of this now. you keep going like the most offensive ways to describe, like,
what do you mean? Listen, this is a lady who celebrates her bigness. It's not me. I'm not, but god damn, what is the big lady's name?
You have to really stop saying that.
Fuck. Okay, what is this beautiful vocalist? I don't even know what the fuck she sings, Tom. Help.
Lizzo.
Look up.
Yeah, you see how badly that could have gone?
Look up Lizzo. Look up Ariana Grande. Give me their scores, please. Would you?
You have the internet, don't you?
I'm really far away from my computer.
I fucking hate you so much.
Pitchfork. Much like Ariana Grande, much like self-defense family, try me. We think Ariana Grande was pretty good. Let's see. Positions, 7.4. So slightly better than Try Me. Way better than Heaven is Earth.
Yeah.
Let's see. So let me look up Lizzo. Pitchfork. She might be like 9 point something because. Ooh,
thank you. Next, 7.9. Sweetener, 8.1. Wow.
So 8.1. Okay. Let's talk about it. Are we. And I mean, just this is like speaking from a completely practical point of view, not with no judgment. Is somebody who thinks that can't tell no one is a perfect song supposed to care about the fucking numeral rating of of a hardcore record on Pitchfork?
Correct.
No,
they're not supposed to. No,
it's they're not supposed.
You know what this reminds me of? Both of you guys remember this. Remember Buddyhead?
Oh yeah,
of course.
No hardcore bands ever got good response. Like they used to do reviews, and it'd be bands like Shat would have like 10 out of 10 best record ever made. Fucking weird fucking cocaine bullshit.
Yep.
And then you know any other remotely hardcore band would be like 2.3 out of 100 because it sucks.
That was their weird thing. Sorry, everybody. I'm gonna maybe make enemies here. That was such a weird era where it was at the time straight edge dudes getting such a kick out of the idea that cocaine existed, and then later becoming cocaine dudes. Such a fucking wild era.
I don't like the way it makes me feel, but I just love the way it smells. Like those kind of
such a wild era. Like
early 2000s. What a weird crap place.
Weird crappy pile of shit. So let's get back to Sam. So Sam was shitting on Pitchfork, and the weirdest part of that is not that Sam shitted on Pitchfork, right? Triple B has no, he says that they reviewed two of his 200 releases.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, it actually is.
For like a straight up hardcore label.
No doubt. So my question is it weird that Sam should shit on Pitchfork? No. Is it weirder that Pitchfork has defenders who popped out to fucking attack Sam? that's like going to war for GQ. You know what I mean?
So here's the deal, right? Like, so there are people who like hardcore who worked at Pitchfork. There are people who liked past tense hardcore, who had some involvement in Pitchfork. So respect to all those folks, because I get it. And then there were people who like hardcore who are somehow connected to someone at Pitchfork, and so they saw their friends get fired. They might have been thinking Sam was firing across the bow at those people who just lost their jobs and theoretically their passion, you know. And so I get someone feeling away. However, pull it back a little bit. You know, I don't think let's everybody take a look, think about it. Does anyone think that Triple B Records was like good? A bunch of people lost their jobs. Fuck them. They didn't support hardcore. Nah, he was, you know, pulling the wool, poking the bull, thinking it's funny, because this is a thing that sort of was parallel because it's music to hardcore, and that, to be quite frank, people who like hardcore like music more than the average bear. So people would focus on those things when it would cover hardcore. It was like, whoa, that's weird, because they cover fucking Ariana Grande and Lizzo. You know what I mean? And indie thing du jour. So that's all to say, he was taking the piss. Have fun. Some of y'all got way overboard. I think it's pretty safe to say we're team Triple B on this one.
Well, my attitude on it is don't ever wave a banner or go to war for something you didn't make. That's like fucking insane to me.
Or you better have a real true investment in it beyond, because I gotta be honest. If you just worked at Pitchfork for a few years, you could have felt like you sweat blood and tears on that. And maybe you did. But it was for someone else's pocket who just folded you into GQ. And I don't know. You know, Triple B, you know what? The cool thing about Triple B is That's Sam's. He did that. That's his.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely right.
You know,
he gets to be defensive about Triple B if he wants. I think that somebody who's read Pitchfork for the last 10 years might have enjoyed it and might have said, no, I got something out of it. But to go to war for an institution that got folded into a fucking legacy men's magazine is fucking insane.
So let me throw
room for like those like independent places, like spaces of criticism.
For sure.
Like that going away is not – Pitchfork is a big one. I mean, like there were talks – I was reading something like NFL might buy ESPN.
Yeah. Sure. Well, then what?
Everything's going to be under fucking Condé Nast and fucking Disney, and then it's like
– Yeah, exactly.
And who watches the – like so there – I mean that part kind of it sucks. I mean I think it's corny to be like you guys never – like – you didn't ever review hardcore. Like they never fucking made any, you know what I mean? Like their band, like you watch their festivals.
Yeah.
It was like alternative pop bands on the, like, it's not like they were like, have you checked out the new fucking, you know what I mean? The new Punitive Damage. No, they didn't care about hardcore and they never faked it.
So to me in a weird thing here, I got weird and still feel weird. Sports Illustrated is basically, in the same moment as I'm seeing this Pitchfork shit, Sports Illustrated, which is a much sadder story, because, like, Patrick, you like sports, but you're not like some like complete sports freak. But you clearly know what Sports Illustrated is, right?
Yes, I'm familiar with Sports Illustrated.
Of course.
Only the swimsuit issue.
Yeah.
It is a national brand, right? Like it was huge, and it over the last few years has deteriorated. So it was sold from Time. Time sold it to some, you know, third party thing that wanted to basically just use it as a brand. Have done nothing with it. They licensed out the publishing branch to a group that has done all this wacky stuff, including using AI writers. Yeah, it's really bad. And then because they lost their license after some of that and basically poor sales and they were behind on their licensing payments, actually, they just laid off their entire staff. So everybody's like, whoa, is that the end of Sports Illustrated? It might be. And I got weird and emotional about it because it's something I've loved and respected. But Tom, mostly because I liked the way they covered something I enjoy, right?
Right, I learned sports. A ton from them and et cetera.
Learned a ton. Love the photos. I try to explain to people what sports was in the not even internet, but pre cable sports, pre ESPN, pre Sports Center. I would tell people like, "Yeah, I loved the Denver Broncos and lived in Albany, New York."
Right, because John Elway was on the cover.
I got to see the Broncos play. If I was lucky, twice a year, maybe three times in the playoffs. And like, I could only see when I would see the Broncos helmet, I was entranced. Like, let me look at this picture. You know, like it's so crazy to think about these things. But all that said, seeing that go is this symbolic, like, oh, are we losing this as a pillar of the way something I enjoy is being covered? If there was someone who felt that way about Pitchfork, I mourn their loss. But also, I don't see how it's real. Correct. I don't see that. Like, looking at this purely through the hardcore kid lens, you could be bummed for sure about like this if you just are some music generalist or someone who likes hardcore but also likes music at large. Seeing this could be feel like a loss, like you were saying, Tom. But I think Sam was reacting because he was seeing it being treated like a hardcore moment where it was like, oh, man. All right,
but I don't know who was doing that though. Like,
who knows?
I don't remember anybody being like, "Oh man,
yeah, who knows?"
Really taking it to heart. No, but I mean, I think you know, I think you know, I to a lot of people, Pitchfork was a big thing. Yeah. It just felt like it was just kind of like to me, and I do like Sam a lot, and I think Triple B is one of the best hardcore labels in the last fucking probably 20 years. It felt like it just kind of like, is this horse dead yet? Let me just kick it one more time. I mean, you know, like, and I think it was like, it started a fucking firestorm for literally no reason. Yeah. It might have helped maybe get some more eyes on Triple B, and maybe it was, you know, Sam being pretty fucking savvy, and people were like, well, let me see what this asshole put out. Like, that was Gridiron Records pretty hot, man. Like, you know, like, yeah, maybe it worked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I was waiting for the Ariana Grande review, but let me pop on Mindforce right now.
Yeah,
right,
thank you. Next, you know, but like, I mean, I think it, you know, I think there needs to be like room for that sort of criticism. It's like, I mean, on a different scale, like, you know, when fucking Maximum Rock and Roll, whatever, like,
yeah,
that didn't always fucking speak for me.
Of course not.
Very rarely for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, yep, if that went away, I'd be like, fuck, that really sucks, man.
When it went away. Yeah. Like, cause it
did go away, right? I don't even know. That's, I mean,
no,
that's how
they
much
don't
I
do the publishing. No, no. I believe they still have some online presence, but it's not what it was. Like, that was.
Well, what was the other one? That Kent McCord one?
Heart Attack.
Heart Attack. Like,
yeah.
That was the thing. Like, that was the pitchfork of hardcore. Like, I didn't listen to 92% of the bands that they'd ever talk about.
Yep.
But that was an important thing. And like, I wouldn't wish it like poorly because they said, you know, we were fucking meatheads from New York. I wouldn't be like, well, fuck that band. Like, fuck that zine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like,
I guess,
you know,
that might be the difference, is that like those felt in world. If you were to say hard.
And it's still in world. Yeah. I'd be like, I wish we'd get like covered by something like that in a positive light, but okay.
Yeah.
Sure. We're not for them. And they're not really for us. And that's cool. But I would never like be like, oh, they can't run it anymore. Or they ran out of money, or like, oh, the owner got sick. I would never be like, good, fuck them.
Sure.
Like, you know, you know, like, oh, now they're under, you know, Sassy Magazine took over fucking, or whatever, you know.
YM took over Heart Attack? Ooh.
And Rolling Stone took over Maximum Rock and Roll. That's crazy. You know, like, I'd be like, fuck that. You should have reviewed my band nicer. You should have given Pat a fucking 8.1. Have you heard Hygiene? It's a fucking classic of the modern era.
Listen, when you're a hater, you're going to be right eventually.
It's true.
Patrick, you got more. What do we got?
Yeah, I got one more that I think we should touch upon.
Perfect. Let's hit it.
Alien Ant Farm Revisionism.
Oh, boy.
I don't know where that came from.
No, it's a psyop.
All right, can I be honest?
Go ahead. Go.
I was like, yo, I mean, I hated this band from the second I laid eyes upon them in whenever, 2002, whatever the fuck those songs came out. And for some reason, I was like, let me watch this move at the movies video one day, like during the pandemic. And I was like, mm-hmm, yeah, this song's kind of catchy.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't go out and buy a record. I don't hate that song, but I think the main revisionism is about the fucking debacle that is the Smooth Criminal cover.
Oh, interesting.
By Michael Jackson. I think that's okay. Like, that's an atrocity on like a Hague level.
Oh, okay. I was hoping there was some like backstory that I was missing, but
it's, no, I think that's like, cause people like, yeah, cause people were like, yeah, like, can we stop saying this was good? But I don't know.
Patrick,
if like,
are you in
like
a different place? Are you in on the cover?
I'm not going to say Smooth Criminal is good. In fact, I find it pretty irritating. When this was totally befouling my feed, I gave it a shot for the first time in a while. I was like, oh, this fucking sucks. But that band, that style, which a friend of this podcast, Nick Fit, calls just files under Snowcore because of the Snowcore festival that
tour
lost on 99% of our listeners. That is Snowcore. And I gotta be honest, Drug Church has some Snowcore DNA. One of our members has an Alien Ant Farm tattoo. So,
and not ironic,
shut the front door.
Yep. No, it's real. And,
so it's not you.
It's not me.
It's not Nick.
It may be Nick. Yep. So
not Corey.
Here's the thing. I like Bob. You've got to make an exception here, not for Alien Ant Farm specifically, but for the post hardcore influenced corporate rock of that era.
Hoobastank.
Because I know you like some of this.
Yeah. So Bob fucks an Incubus record or two.
Yeah.
Oh, so do I.
Hard. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, The Reason comes on by Hoobastank. You think about a former love.
I wish I could explain. One, the Hoobastank folks were very, very nice people. all of them were the singer is one of the shortest men I've ever met in my life.
No shit.
Just a very short man.
Do they have ego boxes on stage? They must.
I never saw them live. They just hung out in my warehouse a couple of days. It was cool.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Way back. Okay. Merch stories for Patreon friends.
Wow.
Yeah. So the legends of Hoobastank. Like, so yeah, you're talking about no love for Alien Ant Farm.
Listen to the movie song again. It's pretty good.
Okay. No, I think, I mean, look. Like, if I'm listening to Fly 92 and it came on, like, all right, fine. You know, I know what I'm in. In for a penny, in for a pound, you know? It's like, I think it's as close to hardcore as Avril Lavigne. And that's about it.
Yes. Yes.
And Pat's been in one of their videos.
Yes.
That's true. I think so. I have a couple Avril Lavigne records downloaded. It's cool. It's fine.
So where are we at on this, fellas?
So the revision, it's stupid. Oh, what's going on with my microphone?
But I don't know if it's revisionist because they were a joke when they came out.
Right, but now people are saying that, now there's people that are saying this is like peak 2000s era, this is lit.
No, that's a lie.
I mean, around that time, could it be? that style of music? What else are you riding for, PK? Are you going POD?
Well,
you going, you know,
look, I'm going Linkin Park. I'm just saying it. But
guys, I promise that when I ask you to look something up, it's not I'm not power tripping. I'm away from like the
computer. Your producers and your, yeah.
Yeah. You know that, like, there's an episode of like SVU where the villain talks very softly so that people have to navigate their way around a room to speak to him. I swear I'm not doing that. Would one of you look up whatever year that Alien Ant Farm record came out and see what else was popping?
All right, hold on. All right. I'll do that. You guys vamp.
So all right. The revisionist part of Alien Ant Farm that I enjoy is the part where some right-wing dude, and I don't know if it was
I saw this. This was my favorite thing I saw.
It was so good. It was so good.
How are you bringing this up? This was my favorite thing that I've seen.
It was the best. It was the best.
Since the year started.
It's the best. Go ahead. Give it to the people.
Okay. I don't have it in front of me. If you do, I'd love for you to read it.
No, I don't. I don't. Well, so it goes. It's basically we'll back and forth. It's a quote tweet
of the Smooth Criminal video.
Yes. This is what was lost. This is what wokeness took away from us. People just living their lives. No pronouns. No protests. No. This is what was lost. It kept going like that. Basically saying that. No migration, no immigrants.
Yes,
no,
it was
so outrageous.
So this is what we lost to mass migration. Yeah. Mass immigration. Holy shit. Listen, here's why that's so funny. And obviously, you know, you can say the sentiment's ugly and it's not funny, but here's why it's funny. It's funny because if that person is being sincere, which, you know, I don't know what anybody's doing for clout these days or what they're doing to try to get fucking clicks. And because you can monetize your blue check mark and just make people angry all day. And if you get – so there's people that are doing that. And I don't know what this human being thinks in their heart or not. But if that person, if their mind is so captured by these ideas and these grievances that they see an Alien Ant Farm music video and their first thought is,
yo,
fuck, look how Western society has collapsed since the year 2003. It's
like, yeah,
it's all represented in this fucking Chun cover of a black man's song.
Anthology was released in 2001.
2001, sure. Their first tour was with Taproot and Linkin Park.
Of course.
Followed up with a tour with Orgy.
First tour?
Well, like after that record came out.
Okay. They started in 96.
First record was called The Greatest Hits, which is pretty funny. Fucking 2001 tracked. Rock Records.
Hey, here's a question. Are they a real band in the way that we would understand it?
Yes. Yeah, I think
okay. So. I don't think they were put together by a label or anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Music album 2001, Rock. We got The Argument by Fugazi.
Mm.
Is This It? The Strokes. Great record.
Okay.
Origin of Symmetry, Muse, White Blood Cells, The White Stripes, Bleed American, Jimmy Eat World, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
Fuck, what?
All yeah. Killer, No Filler, Rock Steady, Amnesiac, I Get Wet, AWK, mm. My Boy.
Mm.
The Green Weezer album, Stay What You Are, Saves the Day. The Donna's Turn 21. Incubus Morning View. Oh, Puddle of Mud, Come Clean. Stabbing Westward. I'm trying to look at some of these.
So the worst record that I've heard so far is the Green album by Weezer.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Built to Spill, Toxicity by System of a Down.
In the Running.
Rotten Apples by the Smashing Pumpkins. Pete Yorn.
What record by the Smashing Pumpkins?
Rotten Apples. I think it's all like their B-sides and stuff.
Okay, fuck. Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Wow, I thought I was more checked out than I am.
Thursday, Full Collapse. Right. Drowning Pool Center. POD okay. Satellite.
So,
Unwound, Leave Turns Inside You.
So how does that change our view of Alien Ant Farm?
I mean, it's mid at the worst. I mean, there's some records right. that I love, but there's some fucking
100%
hot garbage.
Yeah. Yep. Yo, it's mid at the worst. Alien Ant Farm 2024. We discovered. Let's go.
Listen to the movies.